If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll continue with exposition into the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. It was a joy for us to be with our home church at the Liberty Baptist Church in Kidder, Kentucky, this past Sunday. They celebrated 200 years. Now, that's pretty impressive. Think about all the things that church had witnessed throughout the years and things that had went on in the world, and there have been problems politically and there's things that went on, theological debates, but yet the Lord's church was still there after 200 years. Now, if you go to Kidder, you understand that Kidder is not, we think that we're out in the country. If you go to Kidder, you're out in the sticks. I mean, literally. What grows really good in Kidder is chiggers, rattlesnakes, and rocks, and an occasional cedar tree. That's about it. But it was a joy to be back, and we just love it. And I say that jokingly, but, of course, I think it's the most beautiful area in the world. Imagine that, especially in the spring, summertime, and fall, the brilliant colors. But it's always good to be back home. But you know what? I'm home again this morning. And because Mount Hebron is my home, and this is where God has me, and I'm thankful for that, and I look forward to preaching the Word of God just as much this morning as I did last week. John chapter number 8. Look with me at verse number 12, John chapter number 8. We're going to back up and remind us in context. It's been a little while since we've been here, but I want you to pay attention. I think one of the errors that we often have is we remove the Bible from its context, and sometimes we remove it from its culture and what was happening in that era, and knowing what was in the mindset of the people that Jesus was speaking to, and sometimes from the very culture in which he, or say someone like Paul, wrote the letter to. We need to understand those things, because any application that we would draw that would be subtracted from that is not good. We need to know what God's Word says, and that's our desire this morning above all things. I don't get up and when I start preparing a message think, what's a good joke that could go with this passage? That's just not the method that I approach, not a good story. I want to know what God's Word says and what it means, and that's my desire this morning. By the help of the Lord. The Bible says, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a powerful statement. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that hath sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, most time my bifocals don't give me problems. This time it kind of did. Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Our Father, we are truly thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us to interpret this intelligently, but not only that, in a way that would honor you, glorify you. This is more than just academics. God, we've gathered here this morning to hear a message from your word. And I believe your word does the very work which you have called us to do in this world. And God, I pray that you would help us to hear, help us to see, and help our minds to understand and grasp these truths. And I pray this morning that you would give anyone that may be here that has lost eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart and a mind that would be receptive to your word, that is something that can only be accomplished by the work of your Spirit. So we pray that you would empower me this morning as I stand here. Use me that you may be glorified. That's my desire. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the Gospel of John, there are what we would call seven I am statements, and here is one of them where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And each of these statements gives significant revelation to the very person and the identity and especially the deity of Christ. And we'll dive in a little bit more of this I am statement here, but Jesus said, I am the bread. True spiritual sustenance comes from me. I give you everything that you need. Jesus says, I am the door. We'll find this. Chapter 10, he is the door. You don't enter into heaven unless you go through the door. And he says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the resurrection. And it's what he'll speak of it to Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus. And very emblematic of the very fact that how sinners are saved. They pass from death unto life because he is the resurrection. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus will say that he's not a way, he's not a truth, and he's not a life. I am the singular way. I am the truth. There's no truth outside of him. And the Bible tells us that not only but he makes that I am statement, but he says, I am the true vine. All these things speak significantly to who he is and his person. And if we come to this passage today, if you was to outline it, I'd have to say first we'd have to see the very declaration that he makes in verse number 12. In verse number 13, there's an objection. And finally, you see the explanation in verses 14 through 20. But let's begin this morning with the very declaration. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, now, we need to back up and grab a little bit of context here because we've been away for a while, but let's remember a few things. That in the context, if we go back to chapter number 7, there was the Feast of Tabernacles that was happening, what's often referred to as the Feast of Booths. They would celebrate the harvest or the ingathering. And what was this all about? This was they would put little tents and shacks up. And they did this to commemorate and to remember how through the wilderness wanderings that God had provided for them and God had providentially led them and God gave them everything that they needed and protected them while they was in the wilderness journey. And when we read of a light in this passage where Jesus says, I am the light, what is he speaking of? I believe he's speaking back to the very time when they traveled in the wilderness and lived in tents and lived in booths. The Lord went before them day by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the direction that they needed to go by night as a pillar of fire to give light. And when that pillar of cloud or fire would move, you know what that meant? It's time to fold up and to follow wherever the light would go, where the pillar of cloud would go. This is the way to go for protection. This is the way to go for provision. This is the way to go. I'm leading you. Follow me. And they were to be obedient and simply to follow that wherever it went. And so the pillar of cloud and fire gave light to the Israelites and guided them through the wilderness. And it was a true guide to bring them to the place they needed to be. Jesus is saying he is the true guide to heaven. He is the one that leads us through the darkness of this world. So we see this context, and if you remember, there were two things that were important in this ceremony. We talked about one, that would happen this week-long festivity at Jerusalem, when all the Jews would travel to Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate and to commemorate this wandering in the wilderness. And we see it in chapter number 7. If you remember that Jesus stood up in chapter number 7 and verse number 37, the Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He stood and cried. There had been so much controversy about who Christ was. Do you not know? Are you deceived? Are you following him too? There were those that were enemies that were there that wanted to destroy him. And Jesus stands up at the last day and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, this took place during the morning in the festival of tabernacles. And at this last day, there was this ceremony, this water drawing ceremony that symbolized how God provided water for his people in the wilderness. This was like the height of what was going to take place. And then that night they would celebrate by lighting brass bowls around the court of the women that stood there on Temple Mount and around the temple, and they would light it up and they would dance and they would sing and they would celebrate all night, and it commemorated the pillar of cloud that guided them through the wilderness. But this water ceremony, drawing water ceremony, took place on the last day. And as this transpires, remember that God sent Moses, he struck the rock and water came out. God always provided living water to make sure his people had what they needed to live. Jesus stands up during this day and cries out during this ceremony, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall not trickle, not just a dribble, but flow, not just a river, but rivers of not just normal water, but living water. Jesus says all this. They knew the symbolism. And no doubt they realized that by saying this, he was fulfilling messianic prophecies. And the Bible tells us that, boy, the people were angry. In fact, the very next morning early, if you come into chapter number 8, they capture a woman in adultery and bring him before Jesus, trying to trip him up. Here this celebration had happened all night long, and they bring Jesus, and he just stoops down and writes on the ground, you know, and he says, he without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, and just finished up preaching that passage. But it's here within this context of this celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus stands and says, I am the light of the world. And you see, when he did this, we need to understand the night before, after Jesus had just said this, that any man thirst, they would went and they would have taken these big brazen huge lamps in the court of the women in the temple. They were so tall that they had to use ladders to get up to each one of them. They held four golden bowls or brazen bowls. They would fill them with oil. It said it was used of the worn-out clothing of the priest as the wicks. And it was at the highest point of the temple. And they would light them. Therefore, it would shine everywhere. And so during the darkness, they would have light to see in the city. They would have light to see, and they'd have light that they could to live. It would light up Jerusalem. But when Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the whole world, what is in their mind is about how God gave them light and provided for them everything that they needed that they may see. When he makes this statement, he's not just the light of Jerusalem. He is the light of the world. You see, the sun, no doubt, was probably rising at this very moment. And so some people say it was just the sun. I think it's more than that. But it should be important to understand what the sun was to the earth, Jesus was to all humanity. He was the light of the world. Now, the Bible tells us that he was in the treasury, which would be in the court of the women. So he would probably have been standing beneath one of these big light the things that was lit up. And as the morning was coming, the sun was coming up, Jesus is saying, these are not the true light. I'm the true light. I'm the light of the world. You're concerned about physical light, but what you really need is spiritual light. And you see, in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 6 through 7, what we learn here, that God promised a day that the Lord would come and be a continuous light at evening time, and it will still be light. Let me just tell you, He is the light of the world. He is continuous light to all those that know Him. It's not a fading light, a continuous light. This ceremony was to commemorate, to remember how God gave them direction, illumination, how this pillar of fire gave clear direction and knowledge to where they needed to be, what His will was for them for that day. I want you to notice what this fire did. First, I want you to notice, as we see in this first heading here today, and what was beginning to be discussed, is notice this, the revealed resource. Verses 7 through 9, the Bible tells us several things that we might say, but I want you to notice that this revealed resource, he comes and says, I am the light of the world. Now why did he say this? Well, look back in John chapter number 1, verse 7 through 9. John 1, 7 through 9, and see this. What happened here? The Bible says, the same came to witness, to bear witness of the light. Verse 6 tells us his name was John. He was bearing witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light. John wasn't. But he was sent to bear witness of what? That light. That was what the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. When Jesus says that I am the light of the world, this is a statement of necessity. He's saying that I am beneficial, that I'm useful, I am essential. I am what is needed for every man. That's what Jesus is saying here. He is exactly that, needed for every man. And we desperately need light. The Bible tells us that we spoke of regeneration in Sunday school. We spoke of how, in our Sunday school class we did anyway, how that we are dead in trespasses and sin. And when we're made alive, that is regeneration. We talked about how that the circumcision of the heart is a picture of regeneration. We spoke of how being translated when we're saved into the kingdom of His dear Son is regeneration. And we talked about all these things. But another thing is this, that when we are blind and God opens our eyes, that is God making us new. That is regeneration. And let me tell you, the greatest need for all mankind that's absolutely is a revealed resource. There's a necessity that we need sight. We need to be able to see. The physical world needs light, but guess what? The spiritual world needs the light of Christ. Amen? There is that need. Notice not as a statement of necessity. I want you to notice this. It was a statement of an exclusivity, we might say. I had a hard time saying that, exclusivity this morning. You see, Jesus saying, I am exclusively the light. He's saying, I am exclusively the light. You see, the Pharisees thought, by what they were teaching, they were bringing light to their nation and their traditions and their laws and the rules and the exterior or the extra biblical thoughts that they had, and the rabbis they listened to, they thought that they were bringing lights. But Jesus is saying, I am exclusively, singularly, the light of the world. But this is also a statement of deity. Now, how is that? Because he says, I am. Their ears had to ring when he said this, the light of the world. Look in the book of Exodus chapter number 3. Turn to Exodus chapter number 3. And notice this, Exodus 3, verse 11. If you follow along in the Word of God, if you remember here that we talk about the Feast of Tabernacles, where it began. Where it began, this deliverance from Egypt, it began with God calling Moses from a burning bush and said, go get my people. And Moses gave every excuse in the world. And notice, we have this here. He said, who shall I tell them, Lord, has sent me? He said, who am I that I should go, verse 11, unto Pharaoh? And bring forth the children of Israel. And he says, certainly, I will be with thee. This is God. And and it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of God out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, What? I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. That I am is the most revered name for God. It is Yahweh. Yahweh has sent you. In fact, the Jews wouldn't even enunciate the word Yahweh. And the scribes would take the Bible and make copies of the Old Testament. And when they would come to the word Yahweh, they would so revered the name Yahweh that they would get a new quill or a new pen, and then they would begin to write. After every time they come to the word Yahweh, they so revered the very name of God. And so when Jesus stands, I want you to see this here, and says, I am the light of the world. It was him making a declaration to them, and it must ring in their ears. Here they're centered on this very Feast of Tabernacles and what God did. He brings them right back to the very beginning and uses the very covenantal name of God, that I am that I am. I am Yahweh is a statement that he is making. So he is telling them his identity. And you see, I want you to know, he is saying that I am God in the flesh. Isn't that what John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, what? It became flesh. And what? Tabernacled or dwelt among us. He's saying, I am with you. I am God. And so it reveals his identity. But here's something else it reveals. And pay attention to this. It reveals our depravity. How does it reveal our depravity? He says, I am the light of the world. You know why he's the light of the world? Because we are in darkness. Now, look in John chapter 1, verse 5. Look back there. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light... Look in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It means it couldn't grasp. Couldn't grasp it. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Look in John chapter number 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and telling him spiritual truths about the kingdom of God and the need for all men to be born again, regenerated. Look in verse number 19. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men, what? Love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, notice what? They hate the light. They don't like. Listen, by the way, people that are living in sin, they don't like the light of the Word of God. And men love darkness rather than light. Why would churches and pastors try to make their sermons appealing to what I would say this, the goats? You know who enjoys the message? The sheep. Amen? And it amazes me today that people are so concerned with, we need to find a way to put a better image on the church today. And people like us, and can we tone down the rhetoric? And I agree, some guys, all they have is rhetoric. But beloved, when it comes to preaching the Word of God, men that are lost and in darkness do not like it. I don't care if we get someone that says, this is how we should promote you, this is how we should change your image. As long as you preach the Bible, they're going to love darkness over light. Amen. Now, if you're just interested in drawing a crowd, we can do that. But I'm interested in what God has to say. And so we see here that he said they love it. He said they love the darkness rather than the light. It speaks of their depravity. Why is that? Because you know what light does? Have you ever walked in a room and thought, man, it looks good? Turn on the light and say, oh boy. Amen. I remember Isaac bought that first avalanche. Me and Aaron tried to steering away from it, but he brought it. I talked to my neighbor. He's looking at it about 70 feet away. He said, boy, that vehicle looks sharp. I said, just stay where you're at. Don't get too close, right? Isaac knows I'm telling the truth. It had some things going on with it, right? It looked good from a distance. All things look better from the distance. But when you get closer and your light reveals, does it not? Light reveals. Now, I want you to understand it reveals our depravity. Light exposes our condition. People are not going to flock to a church that preaches the Bible in its entirety. People are not going to flock to a church that ultimately glorifies Christ above man. But I tell you what they will flock to when a church preaches self-help sermons. They'll preach how to be successful, how to overcome, how to have a great career, how to better your relationships, how to be happy in your relationships, how to have a positive attitude. You know what they do? Those sorts of teachings, they can pack stadiums with them. But when you come with the message of the exclusivity of Christ being the light, people don't run to that message. Don't be shocked. Men are in darkness and they need light. And in spite of their advancements, in spite of all the things man has accomplished in the world, in spite of all his achievements and the trophies and the treasures and the degrees that they may have, men are hopelessly arrogant and need light. I tell you what this did when he says, when we see it reveals his identity, it reveals depravity in the world, but it also reveals encouragement. And how is this? Well, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Listen, I want you to understand the light that Jesus has to offer is not some temporary light like they had in the wilderness. It's not some generic light. It's not just a physical light, and it's not just for one class of people. This is individually for every individual. I am the light of the world. It is personal to all that receive Him. They will have light and the light of life. Let me say this. Secondly, that we see within this, this is almost a sermon within a sermon, but it requires a response. It requires a response. Look at verse number 12 again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He said, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Let me just tell you, if you have this light, you must believe and you must follow. It's exclusive. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. If you have the light, you're following Christ. It's obedient. By the way, they're in the wilderness. What would happen to them if the pillar of cloud got up and the fire moved and they did not move? Guess what? It wasn't good. For them to be successful, for them to live, for them to have everything they needed to have in this life, they had to follow the pillar of cloud and the fire that led them every single day. They had to have obedience. Now what we find is this, that if we are Christ, that's under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, God changes the heart, gives us a desire to follow the Lord. They didn't have that. We do, amen. You have to be born again. You have this desire. And so where He leads us, what? We will follow. He is the light of the world. There's a response that must come. Let me say this to you. And I probably have to wrap it up. Salvation is not merely a commitment in time. But salvation is a commitment that takes place in time that has a continuation in life. Now pay attention to this. He that followeth me shall not. He that followeth me, the response, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But shall have the light of life. There's no true receiving without no true turning from your sins and turning to Christ and turning from darkness. There's no true coming to the light if you walk in darkness. He says, someone says they believe and they walk in darkness, they do not the truth, and the truth's not in them. Isn't that Bible? That's Bible, is it not? Read 1 John. That's Bible. You see, and he goes on to say that you will follow. He didn't say simply this, raise your hand, and somebody say, oh, you want to go to heaven, you die. Preachers will preach a moving sermon and try to stir people's emotions. Say, well, raise your hand and say, right where I said, I'm going to receive Christ. Now, you might get saved. If the Holy Ghost of God comes on you, you might get saved. But most of the time, there's people that just want to go to heaven as some type of fire insurance to keep them out of hell. That's not what he said. And he didn't come, and he doesn't give this idea. And by the way, Jesus never did that. Jesus said, you want to heaven? Say this prayer. Not one time. Not one time did he say, you must make a decision. You'll make a decision if your heart is truly sold out to God and you truly repent and you truly believed. But you see, we have so watered it down. No wonder people are so religious. They're like those of Laodicea. They think that they're rich. They think that they're increased with goods. They think they have need of nothing. They think they have everything. But Jesus says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And I want you to buy me salve that your eyes, what? May see. The world's full of religion. The world full of religion is headed to hell. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You see, I want you to understand that there's many people claim to be believers and think that they can just continue to walk in darkness and it's no big deal. You're delusional. Hear me, it's not what the Bible says. And I say it with, preacher, why do you preach heart? But I'll tell you why, because my heart is concerned today that many people have fallen into the religion of America. A dead religion that's just went through the motions, thinks everything's fine, but they've never experienced a true regeneration of heart. Well, there's a true regeneration of heart. There's a continuation to follow the Lord. It requires a response that says, walk in the light. I don't have time to get to the objection and the explanation. But let me just say three things by way of application this morning. Number one, all men need the light. Well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. All men, spiritual darkness, need the light. I don't care who you are, what you've done, you need the light. You need Christ. Secondly, salvation is not just a commitment for a little time. And you think that's enough. I got enough to get me to heaven. If you got enough to get you to heaven, he gave you enough to live for him while you're here. Amen. Amen. Think about it. Prove me wrong with the Bible. If he gave you enough to get you to heaven, he'd give you enough to live for him while you're here. Thirdly, you cannot know God. Now I didn't get into this part. You cannot know God outside of Christ. You can use your human reasoning, your logic. And they say, they look at him and say, who do you think you are? Why do you say these things? What gives you that right to say those things? I'll tell you who he is, because these exclusive claims made about him in John chapter number 5 that John the Baptist made, that his miracles testified, transformed lives testified, and even at his baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him. They heard the voice from heaven. Everything that Jesus says and everything the Father has said about him that's confirmed in the Old Testament, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are those that testify of me. The Word of God stands as a testimony that everything Jesus said was true. And beloved, if you're here today, you need the light. You need Him. He is the light of life. And I like that. He's not life for just dying. He's the light of what? You don't walk in darkness, but you have light for life. Not temporary, not subjective light, but light that shows you how to live. You'll follow that light.